The explosive new film, Flynn, Deliver the Truth, Whatever the Cost, exposes secrets behind the government's takedown of General Michael Flynn.
Flynn knew what the intel world had been up to.
He ordered the first audit of the use of contractors. This set off alarm bells.
He told the truth. He was the most dangerous person for Donald Trump to hire. They had to get rid of Flynn.
Flynn, Deliver the Truth, Whatever the Cost. Available now. Watch it today. Go to SalemNow.com. SalemNow.com.
Morning Glory America, you Hewitt here. I am not on today. I am on vacation, but I have a special treat for you. After long last, Bob France of Cleveland has come forward to confess he wanted Sam Darnold over Baker Mayfield. He has finally called me up and said, Hugh, when you need a guest host, I'll come back. I will finally own up to it. I will admit it. Baker Mayfield has got our club back, poised to go to the playoffs, and he's going to just come in and acknowledge his error and tell you once again that I was right. To the one, the only, and the wonderful Bob France, thank you. Take it away.
Oh, I'll tell you the truth about what I actually sent to Hugh Hewitt last week when he started on that kick again, that now three-year-old kick. I actually sent him, I didn't text a word. When I was listening to the Hugh Hewitt show last week and he went on the Darnold-Baker Mayfield run again, I texted him a short four-second GIF. No, it wasn't a GIF because there was audio with it. But a short four-second video clip, that's right, I did take it off of YouTube, unfortunately. I prefer Rumble. But at any rate, I sent him a four-second clip of little Todd Flanders. Simpsons fans will know this. Generalissimo knows this, I assume. Are you Simpsons guy, Dwayne?
I am somewhat Simpsons.
Somewhat Simpson-y. Yes. Okay. Todd Flanders is, of course, Ned Flanders' son, the two little angelic boys. And there's a clip from that show from one of the early days. And I just sent it to Hugh. It was 4 seconds long. And it was Ned Flanders saying, sometimes we have to say things that aren't true. And Todd Flanders interrupting, lies make baby Jesus cry. That's it. That's all it took. Mic drop. Lies make baby Jesus cry. Hugh Hewitt has that in his phone now. And I want to reiterate that now that I have his platform. Thank you so much for joining us. Yes, indeed, as Hugh just said, Bob France coming to you from the ReliefFactor.com studios here in Cleveland, Ohio, my home base. AM 1420, The Answer. What a busy, busy day we have today. So good morning to you. When you get up today, there are going to be some very, very interesting developments. Pfizer trucks are steamrolling on highways around America right now. Yesterday, they loaded up the trucks from their warehousing facility and their manufacturing facility, and the first versions of the COVID-19 vaccine are rolled out. The FDA gave approval, of course, Thursday, Friday. And so Saturday and Sunday, Pfizer, we got them all ready to go, and they're on their way. According to a few different reports, between Pfizer's vaccine and Moderna's vaccine, as many as one-third of Americans could be vaccinated by March, we are being told. So that's roughly 100 million of the 330, so not exactly of 33%, but you understand. If you round it down to 300 million Americans, maybe a third of them could be vaccinated by March, which, of course, would be a pretty extraordinary thing if you add those numbers to the number of individuals who have already tested positive for the virus and are whose immune systems are continuing to build upon those antibodies even as we speak. That could bring us closer and closer and closer to herd immunity, which some people say is going to lead, be an end to this thing. The question is whether or not people trust the vaccine. And vaccines as a, you know, the vaxxers, if you will, or the anti-vaxxers will talk about all vaccines in negative ways. That's not what I'm doing here. I'm not having that fight. I am saying this particular vaccine, because of the incredible, and it really, as President Trump goes down in history for a lot of things, it could be argued that Operation Warp Speed was his crowning achievement of his 4 years in the White House. And I know that he and a lot of other people still feel like it's not over yet about getting another 4 years in the White House. But we'll talk about that, too, because today is that's another reason why we start our day today in a very interesting place, because today the electors cast their votes for Joe Biden based on the outcome of the election as we know it now. Now, lawsuits still pending, appeals to the Supreme Court with their decision, all of that stuff we'll get to. But assuming for the sake of discussion that, you know, Joe Biden becomes the next president, and Donald Trump goes into history as a one-term, four-year president, this could be his crowning achievement. And there are a lot of crowning achievements in Donald Trump's presidency. We ran through so many of them, and I know Hugh did. I listen every morning of President Trump's term to look at the incredible progress toward peace in the Middle East, which we will update, by the way, and we had an update over the weekend. As yet another Arab state agreed to a to terms, if you will, a peace accord, if you will, with Israel. That would be a crowning achievement for any president. No one has been able to do anything even close to this. And I'm talking about including Republican presidents, including Democratic presidents. This is just an amazing achievement for President Trump. So some could say that the rebirth of the economy is something, you know, the lower taxes and doing everything that he and his policies have done in spite of extraordinary opposition and obstruction. All of those things you could say, you know, hey, President Trump might not have been everybody's cup of tea. President Trump might not have portrayed himself the best or the presidency, et cetera. But my goodness, when you look at results, look at what was done in this country. But for the history books, I think we're going to look at the 2020, the year of the pandemic, and what was done to stop it. What was done to bring relief to the people of this country? And even though it's this country was, you know, I am America first. Sorry, no, not sorry, actually. Sorry, not sorry. No apologies. I am America first. Does that mean I want to leave our allies around the world hanging out to dry? Of course not. But this global pandemic, insofar as it affects our country, what was done to stop it? And you can talk about masking all day long, and you can talk about distancing all day long, and all of those things that were put into place, many of which I find to be unconstitutional and, quite frankly, pointless. But the one thing you can say is that President Trump, in forging a private-public partnership between the private pharmaceutical companies supported by public dollars, governmental paid scientists joining with these private scientists to put together a vaccine that would be under normal circumstances a minimum 2-year process for something like this novel coronavirus. A minimum. More likely, and President Trump said this over the weekend in an interview with Brian Kilmeade, he said it would be under anybody else a 5-year process before, and he might be right. That might be a little bit exaggerated, maybe a little bit hyperbolic, but maybe not. But this vaccine has come to pass and come to fruition in less than a calendar year. Number one, it was done in less than a calendar year, about 10 months, really, going back to when this whole thing started in February. Not sure when they started designing the vaccine. When the research began, it might have been even, you know, 3/4 of a year. Maybe, this whole thing started in February. Do we know how big it was going to be? Did we know how long we were going to have to deal with this? Not really. So maybe they didn't start this until March. Maybe they didn't start until April. I don't know. All I know is that Donald Trump told America in the fall of this year, prior to the election, that we will have these vaccines ready to be put into physicians' hands and to be distributed around this country by the end of the year. He was mocked. He was laughed at. He was called a liar. You name it, whatever you can say negative about a person as it pertains to that, it was said. He was accused of making something up about the vaccine in order to cover his failure to control this wild, out-of-control coronavirus through policy. You know, remember, if he would have just set a better example and worn a mask at the podium and all of his speeches and so on, they wouldn't have held those super spreader events. You know, this whole thing could have been stopped. Wouldn't even have needed a vaccine. He's trying to lie about the nature of the development of this vaccine in order to cover his own failures. And they said this is going to be till late 2021 before vaccines would be ready at the earliest. Donald Trump was right. And this is something that I hope everybody remembers, regardless of how you feel about the vaccine. And I know that I believe, according to the most recent surveys, less than 50%, I think it was 46%, and I could double check that. According to surveys, polls, less than 50% of Americans say they'll roll up their sleeve and take this vaccine. Regardless of how you feel about it, the fact that you'll have that choice, the fact that this thing will exist is because of Donald Trump, his leadership, and his administration, and everyone should remember that. As we take our first time out this morning, I will tell you this. The fact that Pfizer knew it, the fact that Moderna knew it, that President Trump was right and it would be ready by the end of the year and didn't publicly say so, I think changed the course of the election. So much to talk about at 17 minutes after the top of the hour. My name is Bob France, in for Hugh Hewitt, here on the Salem Radio Network.
Hi, Dennis Prager here again with a message for anyone struggling with pain. Of course, I want you to know about Relief Factor, the 100% drug-free supplement that tens of thousands are now taking every day. I take it every day. I like being out of pain. But I know you may be skeptical. I certainly was. Then I kept hearing about all the people, including my wife, who were no longer in pain. So I decided to give it a try. In fact, listen to Janice's story.
I was skeptical at first, but because of the pain that I was having when I would substitute teach and have to climb stairs, so I have lower back, hip, and even knee pain. And after about 3 weeks, I found that I could climb stairs pain-free. But it wasn't only pain-free. I could do it step over step without holding on the railing. I'm really happy. It makes me feel like I'm young again.
That's relieffactor.com or call 800-500-8384. 800-500-8384.
Yeah, he is. Santa Claus is coming to town, and he's bringing needles. He's bringing needles and maybe relief. It just depends on who you are and depends on what you believe. But I want to hit that again at 22 minutes after the hour. My name is Bob France, in for Hugh this morning. Thanks for being with us. I come to you live from the Relief Factor Studios here in Cleveland, Ohio. I want to hit that, and I don't want that to be lost. And I still believe, Generalissimo and I have been talking off the air, and we're going to talk on the air with you. 800-520-1234. Want to hear from you. I can also hear from you via Parler. I have escaped the toxic world of Twitter. I do not use it anymore. I'm trying to wean myself off of Facebook as a, you know, political vehicle. I still have my Facebook account primarily because I like to share family stuff with friends and what Facebook was originally for. But I'm trying to wean myself off of that. I am on Parler. And I know Parler has become the number one most downloaded app since the election for a lot of reasons. And so I have a Parler account at France Radio. If you are on Parler, France, F-R-A-N-T-Z, Radio, I would love to hear from you on that platform during and after the show as well. But I want to talk to you about this as well. And that is the fact that I believe that if all of the forces that were conspiring against Donald Trump had just been honest for a fraction of the time in the run-up to the election that that we had, I don't think we're looking at lawsuits. I don't think we're looking at legal challenges. I don't think we're looking at Joe Biden getting an electoral college victory today when the electors cast their votes. We won't get the specific. If you're wondering about that, by the way, and I don't want to chase too many squirrels in different directions here, but I know people, some people don't understand the procedure here. The electors cast their votes today. Certificates, rather, recording the electoral vote results in each state must be received by the president of the Senate and the archivist no later than December 23rd. So we don't necessarily get the results today, even if the votes are cast today. And then the official results of the Electoral College their electoral votes, rather, are sent to the new Congress, which meets in a joint session January 6th to announce the results. So President Trump has said he would concede when the Electoral College votes to certify Joe Biden as the winner. He doesn't necessarily have to do that until January 6th. So the fight can and very likely will go on between now and then. Now, having said all of that, the point that I'm trying to make here is we wouldn't even be in that particular boat right now if so many forces did not conspire in the other way. And we've been talking about this off the air, and I know a lot of people on the air, too, between the media. And we're going to talk about Hunter Biden, and we're going to talk about making extra keys for the office for the big guy, Joe Biden, for Uncle Jim, and for, yes, our Chinese associate. All of this stuff, if it had come out, if the media had expressed journalistic curiosity the way they have in the history of the Fourth Estate, we're not talking about this. And back to my point about the vaccines being available now, thanks to Operation Warp Speed, one of the most incredible achievements, I think, in presidential history. In the midst of a global pandemic and people begging for something, even if you don't want a vaccine, I don't care what your position is, if you do not want the vaccine, the fact that you have a choice now, and you will have a choice in record time, is something that if it had been acknowledged by the producers, the manufacturers, the pharmaceutical companies responsible for these vaccines that are being greenlit by the FDA, and efficacy having been proven at 95% according to the CDC and all of those things, if Moderna, if Pfizer, they knew this was going to be ready by the end of the year, just as President Trump said. And yet they let him twist in the wind, despite working with him, working with the administration in this public-private partnership to make this happen. They let him twist in the wind as the media and as Joe Biden and as everybody else mocked his belief that we would have a vaccine by the end of the year. They said he was just trying to save his presidency before the election by telling that lie. If they had said it's true, and it is indeed true, I think all of those things added up together, we have a very different story right now. But as it stands, this is our story. The Supreme Court kicked the Texas lawsuit to try to stop this thing. We're going to hit that, the vaccines, the Electoral College voting today, all of this. I want to hear from you on 800-520-1234 is the number to the Hugh Hewitt Show. My name is Bob France. Glad to be with you this morning. Thanks for joining us on the Salem Radio Network. Three minutes past the top of the hour. Good morning. Bob France sitting in for Hugh Hewitt in the ReliefFactor.com studios here in Cleveland, Ohio. My home base is AM 1420, The Answer. It's so such an honor to talk to Hugh's distinguished audience. And I do want to talk to you, and I want to listen to you, too. 800-520-1234. But we are less than 2 weeks from Christmas, as you know, and I want to take a moment to pull back the curtain on what a blessing our Angel Tree campaign has been to one family in particular. Thanks to the infusion of gifts from generous donors like you. At the Central Women's Prison in Chowchilla, California, Prison Fellowship sponsored a Christmas party where Sherinda Williams got to spend a few hours with her mother for the first time in years.
I couldn't even imagine. It's wonderful, because I know as much as she would like to be home with the family and as much as we would like her home with the family, this makes it a whole lot easier for both sides. It's been some years. Just trying to get adjusted to not having her during these times. It's still kind of hard.
You can hear the emotion in Sherinda's voice there, obviously, but getting to be with her mother briefly and have both of them share Christmas with Sherinda's daughter was just a special blessing. Thanks to generous listeners like you. And with Christmas only a few days away, I'm asking you now to go today, right now, to HughHewitt.com. Click on the Angel Tree banner at the top of the page for a gift of just $22. You can change a prisoner's child's life. Or for just $220, you can bless 10 children of prisoners with personalized Christmas presents and a personal note from their incarcerated parent. Plus, every Angel Tree family is also given access to a free, easy-to-read copy of the Bible in English or Spanish. Just go to Hugh Hewitt, please, HughHewitt.com, to click on the Angel Tree banner and make your gift. And thank you so much for joining our campaign to help Prison Fellowship. I want to I want to get into a couple of clips here because I'm really focused, I think, on the biggest news of the day. And I know there are really number of huge stories as we start our Monday. But I want to focus on the vaccine because, as I noted at the top of the show, the Pfizer trucks are on the roads literally across America right now. They were released yesterday after, of course, getting approval, final approval from the FDA for this vaccine on Thursday and Friday. The trucks were loaded up at their manufacturing centers, and they're on their way now to deliver the first doses to, you know, obviously first responders and most vulnerable members of the population. But I want to talk about what that vaccine means. And again, I am not debating vax versus anti-vax, and particularly not in a big picture thing. We're just talking about this particular vaccine. And the crowning achievement here of President Trump. Now, President Trump said, I said this myself, at least 2 years minimum, maybe 3 or 4 years. But who knows? Maybe President Trump was right to say 5 years. Without him, we wouldn't have this. Cut six.
If I wasn't president, according to almost everybody, even the enemy, if I wasn't president, you wouldn't have a vaccine for 5 years, okay? I pushed the FDA and companies and everybody else involved like nobody's ever been pushed before, and now you have it rolling out. And frankly, they could have done it last week. They could have even done it a week sooner, and they heard from me. But this has been a great, a really medical miracle. They call it a medical miracle. And it's going to have a tremendous impact. 95% effective. We have Moderna coming out next week, very soon. We have Johnson & Johnson, a one-shot vaccine coming out. All great companies.
What about? Now, I think it's impossible to dispute that, quite frankly. I think it's impossible to argue. No, but you could be the most ardent Trump hater. You could be Brian Stelter or Don Lemon or anybody at the Washington Post, not named Hugh Hewitt. You could be the biggest anti-Trumper in the world, and you cannot dispute the fact that this was a medical miracle. This type of thing, this type of vaccine, simply doesn't get done in less than a calendar year. 8-9 months, really, is what it took. Without extraordinary leadership and extraordinary resources provided by the Trump administration, the federal government, and again, their public-private partnership. And yet, it's not enough. And yet, it is not enough. Because according to the doomsdayers, we are going to have to continue to strip Americans of their constitutional liberties. We're going to have to strip Americans of their rights to make a living, their rights to run their own business. I mean, this is an extraordinary admission here, or not an admission, rather, but it's an extraordinary statement by some of the most powerful people in the world, including Bill Gates. Bill Gates is one of the richest men in the world, and it is not the irony and the hypocrisy of him saying over the weekend to Jake Tapper on CNN that it's still going to be necessary to close down bars and restaurants for the next COVID wave for perhaps as many as 6 months. The hypocrisy is not lost, that this is a guy whose life is made a billion times over, telling people whose livelihoods are in serious jeopardy that they have to shut down their businesses. It won't impact him one iota. But to tell them to shut down their businesses is, for some people, again, a bridge too far. And I am one of those people. I think this is an extraordinary statement made by Bill Gates. So he says shut down at least for the next 6 months. Or I'm sorry, he said bars and restaurants for potentially as many as 6 months. And also, some of the doomsdayers saying that we are still going to have to live with lockdowns and live with masking and other things despite the presence of this vaccine. And I think this is a very frustrating thing for a lot of people, because people are saying this is what we've been told. And I said this about a half an hour ago. So if you just turned us on, according to what we are being told by the manufacturers, Pfizer and Moderna and so forth, we could have as many as 100 million Americans vaccinated by March, those who choose to do so, which would put us, when you add them to the number of people who have already tested positive and have begun building up the antibodies with their own immune system, we could be close to reaching herd immunity. And yet they are still talking about shutting this country down again and harming more people because, and I don't want to beat a dead horse here, but because according to these people, the only deaths that count in America are COVID deaths. Never mind the number of people who have died of isolation. Older people who can't see loved ones who are dying. The last number was some 40,000. did not die of COVID, but died because of isolation caused by COVID policies. Not to mention, of course, the obvious, the number of suicides, attempted suicides, clinical depression, alcoholism, drug abuse, domestic abuse, all as a result of these things. So it's a very, very confusing and difficult time for a lot of people to understand right now. But they are continuing to say, even though there's this light at the end of the tunnel, we are not going to be able to stop all of these things that are harming so many other people. Now, Bill Gates, as I said, is championing the shutdowns because it doesn't affect somebody like Bill Gates. And even though this is an almost exclusively American accomplishment, Bill Gates and others don't believe that Americans should be the first ones exclusively to benefit from these vaccines. Bill Gates says we got to send these things around the world. Bill Gates, again, is so disconnected, and it just frustrates me to no end that liberal media and liberal politicians cozy up to guys like Bill Gates and listening to his opinions on these things. But listen to Bill Gates say that America does not come first when it comes to vaccinations. Cut number 12.
Well, I think we need to help all of humanity here. You know, we want the world economy to be going. We want to minimize the deaths. And, you know, the basic technology is a German company. And so blocking international sharing and cooperation has been disruptive and a mistake during this entire pandemic. So we need to ramp up the capacity of all the vaccines. There will be some additional ones approved in the months ahead that are easier to scale up the manufacturing. But, you know, the U.S. Has benefited from other countries' work here, and we shouldn't be entirely selfish in how we go forward.
So America first, as the president might call it, not the right approach.
Well, the extreme idea that everybody should die until we have the very last American vaccinated, that's hardly the appropriate response.
I don't know the answer to this question. It is just a question. But how many, if any, foreign companies are rolling out vaccines right now to help inoculate their populations? I don't know what that is, but I want to say this. This is extraordinarily important. If the United States is the only country that is actually doing this and that has brought this to market, and it's not really market if we're doing this to save lives in a pandemic, but if the United States is the only country and we do end up saving millions and millions of lives internationally, I want it to be underscored by the left. I want it to be understood and then underscored by the left that the country that they have decided that they despise so much, that they have to change America, would be the country that does what it always has done, which has saved lives, which has reached out and been the greatest force for good in the history of human civilization. I bring this up because today, the other big story that we have to focus on is early voting begins in Georgia. And you know what Chuck Schumer said. You've heard it countless times on the radio. First we take Georgia, then we change America. I have such an enormous problem with such a statement because I know there are millions upon millions of Americans who don't want to change America because America is a good thing, that America is what it has always been. Yes, we should be America first, but we are also a source of global good and always have been. We are the least racist country in the world, despite what the left will tell you. We are the least selfish country in the world, despite what the left will tell you. And I hope that when this is all over, the rest of the world will recognize, and more importantly, that Americans will recognize, we do not have to change America. We are already extraordinary. Coming up, Selena Zito is going to join us to talk about vaccines, Georgia, and more right here on The Hugh Hewitt Show. My name is Bob France. Good to be with you this morning.
The party's on. The feeling's here. That only comes this time of year. Simply having a wonderful Christmas time.
A wonderful Christmas time indeed on the Hugh Hewitt Show. Good morning. 9 minutes before the top of the hour, Bob France sitting in the ReliefFactor.com studios here in Cleveland, joined now by Selena Zito. She is a columnist with the New York Post and the Washington Examiner. Read all of her great work at SelenaZito.com. Selena, good morning.
Good morning. How are you?
I'm wonderful. A Merry Christmas to you and happy holidays. What a glorious Monday it is for news people anyway. We could talk for an hour, Selena, but we only have a few minutes, so we're going to dive right into it. The vaccines are on the road. The Pfizer trucks are rolling. The FDA says they hope that the first needle goes into the first arm today. How do you qualify or quantify the extraordinary accomplishment of getting this done in less than a calendar year and really in about 9 months? From the time they started researching a vaccine for COVID-19?
I think it's a really incredible accomplishment. I think it's an example of a model that government and private industry should use more often. Quite frankly, when you have some of these, not all, obviously anything can go wrong, you know, with any kind of private-public partnership. Mm-hmm. But it is the best of the best when it comes to those kinds of partnerships. And one of the things I think that President Trump has done is sort of his motto of why he was first elected in 2016 regarding drain the swamp. A lot of people, when they think of the swamp, they think of bureaucratic red tape. They think of problems they've had in trying to reach the government or deal with the government, whether it's in their personal lives or in their for their community's sake. And I think this is one of those things where he was very accomplished in pulling this off.
Yeah, no question about it. Now, the real question is whether or not Americans are going to trust it in the large numbers needed to eventually reach herd immunity, which, you know, could come as early as March, perhaps, as 100 million people get vaccinated. These are numbers that they're talking about. But according to surveys, less than 50% of Americans are expressing confidence that they even want to take the vaccine, that they'd rather take their chance with the virus because of the 99% plus survivability rate for everybody under 70. So do you think Americans will embrace this, especially given the speed with which it was developed?
Well, I think our underlying problem that we glossed over, and we've continuously glossed over since this problem began, which we have to reach way back into 1972, when our trust in government started to collapse. In that time, government officials and large institutions enjoyed a nearly 70% approval rate and trust rate from its citizenry, to now with it being completely turned upside down, and it's in the 20s or sometimes even in the teens. So we have that problem, period. We don't trust things that the government or large institutions do. Having said that, I think that once there is a couple weeks to a couple months into seeing the effective rate, lack of problem, or if there is a problem, you know, that'll have a completely different point of view. But as all these examples of success pile up, I think you will see Americans start to sort of let down their guard in their distrust of government and take the vaccine, because they'll see that, you know, it opens up the opportunities to see families, to have businesses open, and it impacts the community at large in a positive way rather than the negative way that was experienced for almost a year.
We're talking with Selena Zito, columnist with the New York Post, the Washington Examiner. Look her up at SelenaZito.com. Two more top topics of the day I want to get your thoughts on quickly. The early voting begins today, and the uber important. I mean, I think our Republicans, survival depends upon what happens in the runoff, the Senate runoff elections in Georgia. Do you trust and do you think enough Georgians trust the electoral process, given all of the challenges, videos and other things that have been seen there, that we will have a free and fair election in this runoff?
Well, I think that one of the things, you know, as soon as it was understood that this is going to happen, Mitch McConnell sent his team down there almost the day after Election Day, right? And I think one of the things missing in 2020 presidential election was that there weren't boots on the ground in monitoring the situation ahead of the election. And so I think that as people understand that that's in place, that they'll have a better trust for this process.
Selena Zito, looks like we won't get to the Texas, the Supreme Court's decision on kicking the Texas lawsuit, but I know there can read about it and your thoughts on it at SelenaZito.com. Selena, I probably will not talk to you before Christmas, so once again, a Merry Christmas to you, and thanks so much for the time.
Merry Christmas.
Thank you. God bless. Bob France sitting in for Hugh Hewitt here on the Salem Radio Network.
Hi, Dennis Prager here again with a message for anyone struggling with pain. Of course, I want you to know about Relief Factor, the 100% drug-free supplement that tens of thousands are now taking every day. I take it every day. I like being out of pain. But I know you may be skeptical. I certainly was. Then I kept hearing about all the people, including my wife, who were no longer in pain. So I decided to give it a try. In fact, listen to Janice's story.
I was skeptical at first. But because of the pain that I was having when I would substitute teach and have to climb stairs, so I have lower back, hip, and even knee pain. And after about 3 weeks, I found that I could climb stairs pain-free. But it wasn't only pain-free. I could do it step over step without holding on the railing. I'm really happy. It makes me feel like I'm young again.
That's ReliefFactor.com or call 800-500-8384. 800-500-8384.